I never finished my the comparison I wish to make between forgive and forbear. Yeah? So I just told you the story of last week in Seoul. Forgive, the word forgive, if you check the Greek meaning and all of that, or in the Bible, it actually means to give, you know, to give as a favor. So I favor you, so I grant you something or I give you something. To forgive has that meaning in it. So to forgive is, yes, I'm sorry or whatever. That's your expression. But actually, what it is, the intrinsic meaning is that I grant or I give you something. Okay? So forgiveness is therefore a gift. When God forgave us our sins, give us the forgiveness of sins, that is given to us as part of his free gift. He favored us. He loved us. And so, even though we sin against him, right, we offended God and all of that, and his righteousness, but because of the death of his Son, of Christ, on the cross, and don't forget, the Lord Jesus on the cross, he spoke seven words, or seven utterances of the Lord, famous seven utterances. The very first utterance is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That was the first utterance. So that tells you and I about the Lord's heart when he was crucified on the cross. Was just one big gift of forgiveness. By shedding his blood, by dying on our stead, by washing our sins, he was able to give us this free gift of forgiveness. We didn't have to do a thing. We didn't even have to say, I'm sorry. He just freely gave. And you think about that, brothers and sisters, why wouldn't we give that gift all the time? In the church life, in the marriage life, in the family life, it's forever. Should be forever. What is going to keep our relationship in a marriage open? You know, how do you maintain a pleasantness, a goodness in a marriage? It really boils down to give this, and that is the spouses give each other such a gift moment by moment. You know? Not just once a week, because we step on each other's toes a lot more than once a week. Sometimes, often unintentionally, sometimes, sorry to say, intentionally. But regardless, I remember Brother Nee or Brother Lee, they both have separate sayings for marriage, you know. Some of them, you might have seen this, especially the Chinese. You know, at one time, Brother Lee say, I used to dispense advice to people who are married about marriage. He said, I'm not doing that because those, they don't work. And even if they work, people won't do it. So he said, all I do nowadays, this is in the 60s, 70s, is just to tell people to contact the Lord, right? And that should be well taken. We get the point. But let me tell you, when you look at these, I find them to be real words of wisdom. And they work. You know, one thing, for example, in a marriage, he said, is two things you always say. You don't stop saying, all right, to have a good one. Number one is lots and lots of thank you. Just because you're married 50 years doesn't mean you don't say thank you. Thank you. The other is what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That means forgive me, right? And this is about maintaining that relationship. And so the same in family, in a familial setting. A good marriage and a good family is not because it's in the DNA or these are better people. No, we're all the same. Marriage is a project, and to raise a family, it's a project. It's a piece of work. And one of the most important things is to maintain a certain atmosphere and condition so that that marriage can go on and that family can thrive in a good way. If you don't have that condition, then almost nothing works. The church life is a piece of work. It's God's building work. And for the building to take place in the church, there has to be a certain condition. And that is the same condition. And that is the condition of pleasantness, a condition of harmony, right? A condition of oneness. But how do you have that condition? Well, here we go. It is to fill the relationships in the church life with mutual forgiveness. Mutual forgiveness. Asking forgiveness and granting forgiveness as a gift. So you and I have to be very used to this, to giving this gift of forgiveness quickly and fully, and receiving the gift and not reject the gift when it's given to you of forgiveness. Now, forbearance. What about forbearance? Forbearance, I have not checked the Greek meaning, but let's say just the English word forbearance. The meaning is kind of withholding, keeping. So, for example, you do something, and right away I have a reaction. Okay, I have a reaction, and that reaction translates into action. You follow me? Argue, push back. All right? An eye for an eye, you know? So this is like the opposite. To forgive is to give. To forbear is to bear. That means to suffer, to take it, to not react, to have patience, to withhold, to withhold. It's quite the opposite of forgiveness. I'd say today, if in the local church, in our families, in our marriages, these two things in combination exist from both parties, from all parties, chances of your marriage, mine, family life, and church life to be good and pleasant. You know Psalm 133? Behold how good and pleasant is high. Is high. And so, look, how many times you and I have to ask God for forgiveness during one day. I mean, like, sometimes I feel it's nonstop. Like everything I need the Lord to forgive me. Lord, you know, and I need somebody to forgive me. And that's right. And don't think that you have graduated from this. None of us. And it is to forgive is to forget. Is to forget. So it's good to have memory loss in this respect. But some of us have long memories. 30 years ago, brother, you said that to me. 30 years ago. I forgive you, but you said that to me. Well, I haven't forgiven because I still have it in my head. You see, when that is there between husband and wife, between what, I tell you, sooner or later, it cannot flourish. It cannot be pleasant and happy. All right? So I'm no better. I'm speaking to myself as well. So anyway, we finished covering the brothers. Are you okay with this kind of fellowship? Amen. It's not as happy and jovial, and it seems like some pills that we have to take. But no, these are scriptures. These are the apostles' teaching. Definitely the apostles' exhortation and admonition to us. So, brothers, it's good to go back and restudy these things and apply it to yourself. The older brothers, right? This is for us. Don't be so easily irritated, right? Be patient. And sober and in faith, in love, and in endurance. Endurance means you can bear troubles. You can bear unpleasantness. You can bear mistreatment. You can bear uncomfortable situations. You can bear troubles. It's a great thing. It's a great thing when we have older brothers and sisters live Christ like this. What a blessing, and what patterns the young people will have. Now we come to the sisters. So brothers, you can sleep. Brothers, sisters, pay attention. Paul said, likewise, the older women, likewise. So A, it says, Paul's use of the word likewise indicates that the behavior of the older women should be similar to that of an old man. So, brothers, wake up. Okay, this is a word for you as well, and for me as well, for the sisters. B, in demeanor, the older women should be as befits sacred things. You just put that up there. Okay. So here we go in Titus. Back to chapter 2 here. Older women, likewise, to be in demeanor. You know what demeanor is, sisters? Deportment. The way you carry yourself. Your gesture, your habit, right? Your demeanor. including the outward appearance and the inward appearance, our inward condition. In demeanor, the older women should be as befits those who engage in sacred things. Well, what are the sacred things? Here we go in number two. Sacred things may be a special term referring to our service in the church. Any service in the church is sacred, and our demeanor should match this sacred service. It's very, very important. So here you are, sisters. You know, a lot of sisters serve. But you need a demeanor that fits, that matches your service. All right? So people is not just looking at you serving, which they do, but they also watch and see the way you carry yourself, the way you conduct yourself, the way you behave. I hope this word doesn't get out, but, you know, in Seoul, after I finished my long 80-minute message, the saints came up to share. And the piano ding, you know, you have to stop, right? And the first sister who spoke, ding, he wouldn't stop. He kept going. Ding, he won't stop. She kept going. And then some sisters behind try to tap her in the back, and she'd go like that. Several times, and different sisters. Ding. What's that demeanor? Yeah, she's speaking, she's testifying, she's prophesying. I tell you, that prophesying, I have no heart to enjoy the prophesying. All I see and all I remember was that. You follow me? Her demeanor was a mismatch with her service. To speak for the Lord is sacred, right? It's a holy service. And you better have a demeanor that suits, that fits. It's huge. People may not even remember your words, but they remember you. They remember your face, they remember your tone, they remember a lot of things. And that is eventually what, along with your sharing, what impressed them. So, and I don't mean to put on an act or a performance in any way. We should live that way. You know, especially for sisters. Brothers, you know, brothers are more, they're brothers, right? For sisters, there should be a kind of air. Air, you know, the word air. Of what? Being covered or being submissive. There should be that. As befits a holy woman. And that you have to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. There's a lot of speaking about how sisters should be. You know, in Titus, Paul liked to talk to sisters more than brothers. He devoted more pages or verses to how sisters should be more than brothers. You know, there it talks about a sister should be silent, should be learned from their husband, and on and on. Number of verses, just like here. So the demeanor is very important, sisters. And we just need this kind of examples in our regular church life. All right. Especially the elderly sisters should have a demeanor which befits the sacred things, the things related to the service of the church. I just say again and again, the blessing that we should be as older saints is not so much just in what we say. It's important what we say, but it's in who we are, or what we are, and how we conduct and carry ourselves. Brotherly, train us when I, young person, to work, you know, under him. I will tell you, he, not on the podium, but not when he was giving a message, but when he was discipling us, right, training us to serve, he paid much attention to this. If you are a co-worker, you should behave in this way. You should, you know, carry yourself in this way. Otherwise, your ministry will be hugely discounted. Hugely discounted, right? And not to mention, sometimes would bring reproach to the name of the Lord and to his testimony. All right. So then the next thing is this, not slanderous. There's a particular word for ladies, for sisters. Paul also says that older women should not be slanderous. Number one, the devil is a slanderer. To slander is to practice the nature of the evil slander. The slander is to say bad things, evil things about another person, especially when it is not correct or accurate or true, right? Even today in our society, in civil society, to slander someone is a very serious thing, right? In law, they call it libel, right? To say things that are untrue in a malicious fashion. So the devil is a slanderer. He is the accuser of the brothers, right? In Revelation, the accuser of the brothers. When you slander someone, or when you say bad things about someone, you're accusing that person by doing so. And the devil does this all day and all night. So an elderly sister here, number two, should flee slander, the evil act of the devil. Well, sisters, may I say this, that it's easier, sorry to say, for sisters to talk, right? It doesn't mean the brothers don't, but more. And what we call gossip, right? Gossip. Chit-chat. And when you talk this freely, openly, it is so easy to fall into criticism before you know it. Rumoring, you know what I mean? To spread rumors. And if you're not careful, you start to say wrong things about people. It's hard, sisters, I know, to not talk, but we have to be so careful. Otherwise, you can share with the devil in this evil thing called slander. The best thing, let me tell you, is not to say anything about anyone. And even the better things is not to know things. That's hard. You know? That's hard. Y- Yes, you know, in the church we shepherd people, we care for people, we need to know certain things. But be very, very careful. The flesh can come in very quickly. And you just, you know, hearing is a form of lust. Lust. Lust to know, lust to hear, lust to talk. It's all lust. Lust meaning something of the flesh. So that this means there's no cross there. We talk about the cross this, the cross that. Actually, there's no cross in your life just by the way you freely talk, freely say things, and especially in talking about people. There's just all the times when brothers are having to fellowship something, but inwardly the feeling is that's good enough. Brothers, that's enough. Don't, no need to dig more, no need to, you know, get into it more. This is good enough. You see, there's always a fine line. It's danger to cross that line into something not of the Spirit. Something not of the Spirit. You know, the mouth and the ear, right? Paul also said, this is the last point, Paul also said that the older women should be teachers of what is good and train the young women to be teachers of what is good is to give instruction. So, sisters, if you want to exercise your First Amendment right to speak, right? Well, exercise in this way. And that is what? That is to teach the younger sisters what is good. What is good? Well, what is good? Well, what is good is good. That we should do. That you should do. Older sisters, you should do that. Here's another problem, is that I know there's sisters with a good heart, you know, they have a good heart, and they just, before long, begin to dispense the good-hearted advice on things is too much, you know. Or simply the wrong thing. You know, one area I would like to particularly point out is on the matter of marriage. Be very, very careful, sisters. When someone come, a young sister come to you about matters of marriage, be super careful. You can, if you try to understand what I mean, you can help to bring about a marriage that should not happen. Don't say, God is sovereign. That's easy way out. If we're not careful, we can cause things to happen because the young sisters respect you. They think you have the experience. And you're a little careless. And before you think about it, before you even pray, you just dispense your your wisdom to them. And we have seen problems. Dear wife and I, over the time, no, we're not marriage counselors, I'm not certified and all this stuff. No, we're not. But over the years, decades, because of so much of this area that is needed. And there is a need. There is a great need to help young people in their marriage, pre, during, and post. Huh? But the wrong advice were given. Wrong advice were given, eventually causing pain, causing suffering. And I'm not talking about the garden variety, you know, things that come with any marriage. I'm talking about something far more serious than that. So we should not have so much trust and confidence in ourselves when it comes to touching other people's life and destiny. All right, we're talking about someone's life here. It's not just, you know, Romeo and Juliet. No, 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 no. Sisters, if you think that way, you better stay out of this. There's so much help actually young people need before they get married. Before. Even before they think about getting married. And when they start thinking about marriage, help. Out there they call it pre-marriage counseling or whatever. And then in the process of the courtship and the process that will lead to engagement, marriage, and all of that. And then after they're married, where the work begins, right? Work begins after you make the vow. That's when work begins. It's called the marriage project. They think the vow, you know, that's called the Hollywood rom-com movie. They never show the married part. It's always they got married and live happily ever after. It's Hollywood. That's Hollywood, okay? Work begins. How do you help this? And sometimes there are common situations, sometimes uncommon situation. All the cases are different. And how do you help these younger ones navigate and build up a good marriage? You can give the wrong opinion because this person or this couple may need this kind of help. That couple may not need the same kind of help. And if you are not discerning, if you're not prayerful, if you're not careful, you could be giving them wrong medicine. Or you have only one kind of medicine that gives anybody, and that doesn't work. So, sisters, I'm just illustrating. There's a great need in the human lives of the saints in the church. Much need. Right? And we do need the older brothers and sisters who can be the parents to help these younger ones. So here, Paul goes on to say that you have to even, the older sister have to even train the young women. My goodness. This is the hardest kind of training, I will tell you. It's easy to FTTA training, that's easy. Training how young women should be with their husband, young husband with the wife, that is hard. And then, this is about the young ladies. But there's such a need, sisters, and we need mature sisters, we need discerning sisters, we need compassionate sisters, but we don't need natural sisters, all right? Opinionated sisters. We need sisters with some experience, with experience, sisters who are proper. All right. That would be a blessing to so many younger ones. Now, talk about opinions. We have a whole Roman numeral on opinions. And this, everyone have to wake up, okay? Because it's for all of us. All of us. Let me first say this. If you want to get some real detail, help on this matter or subject of opinion, there is a book called Perfecting Training that I was there to listen to it, and I used that as a textbook in the Middle Age training class, and it had rendered me tremendous help on opinion. Let me say this, would say that for an older person, you and I, the problem, if I can summarize our problem on the negative side, number one is disposition. This is also in perfecting training, disposition. And the older we become, the more cemented, the more hardened our natural disposition is. And that is a huge problem, men or women. Number two, opinion. These two things, all right, have frustrated marriages, families, and church life like you couldn't believe. These are silent, lethal problems. And if you and I do not have the grace of the Lord to see this and do what we can to cooperate with the Lord to deal with them, our usefulness to the Lord will be limited. In fact, you can become a problem. And many had become a problem. It's like the older they get, the more problematic they become. Not only they could not solve problems, they become problems to the church. And that need not happen to us. All right, let's cover this matter. The problem with those in their old age, you're okay, right, saints? It's a little bitter, I'm not making you smile. But this today is very important, super important. I challenge, since I'm here doing this for the first time, Northern California Senior Saints is a different group of senior saints in the recovery. How about that? In a good way. Yeah. There's a great need all over the recovery, especially as the recovery grows and spreads and gains people, young people. We have great, desperate need for older brothers and sisters like this, like Paul described. Okay, number three, the problem with those in their old age is opinions. Number one, or A, older ones feel that they have the experience, they do. They have passed through the problems of the young and middle-aged ones, and they have learned a lot, maybe. Okay? One, experience cultivates our opinion. Okay? In itself, it's not wrong. That's the natural process. You know, you have experience, and out of so many experiences, you start to formulate a certain thought or belief. So you cannot say outright that this is evil or bad or wrong. But it could become problematic if it goes unchecked. So the more experiences we have, the stronger our opinion will be developed and strengthened. Two, the young people sometimes have a difficult time with the older ones because all the older ones have been fully developed in their opinion by their daily life and their experiences. So, because I publicly talk about my ailments, oh my goodness, everywhere I go, people who heard my message will come to me with a medical opinion. Oh, Lord Jesus, I don't know what to do. Ranging from, I mean, Eastern, Western, from semi-legit to snake oil, you know. I thank the Lord for these dear saints' love for me. I mean, the love is palpable. They really a concern. But my goodness, the opinions. And everyone would say, it worked for me, for him or her. But they don't know whether it works for me, but they think it works for me. And so they present this lovely opinion of this or that. And I just have to thank them and just file it, you know, somewhere. I also have an opinion because of how I got well. I'm so afraid that I will start telling people this worked for me. And it did. It did. But it could hurt this person. Even medically, even just from a health standpoint, it could hurt this person. Because I'm no doctor, you know, I'm no expert. I'm just one person who have benefited from something. So the danger of opinions is real, very real. Dear saints, this is not a joke, it's very real. And again, you know, besides other kinds of these opinions that have been freely dispense in the church life. You know, including take this supplement. And I'll tell you where to get them. In fact, I have a way to discount. Get a discount one. In fact, I'll give it to you as a gift. All right. Experience cultivates our opinion. The more experiences we have, the stronger our opinion will be developed and strengthened. Two, the young people sometimes have a difficult time. Oh, I read this already. Number three, the older ones can hinder the going on of a church because of their opinions. We would not think how serious opinions are in the church life, what kind of hindrance that it can produce. But this is a word of experience. Four, Brother Lee himself testified, quote, please do not consider that Brother Lee is over 50 years in the Lord, that he has a lot of experiences, that he's mature, and surely he cannot have opinion. This is wrong. I am not a saint or a sage. Even more, I am not an angel. Maybe it is easier for me to have an opinion than for you. Why is this? Because the older you are, the more opinions you have. The most opinionated persons are those who are older. Then you say, well, we should all shut up and say nothing, do nothing, right? Well, maybe. Maybe some of us need to do that. But if you read the perfecting training, you will find out eventually the opinion is just you. You are your opinion. Satan, get behind me. Remember that? Matthew 16? The Lord said to Peter, who just a moment ago saw the greatest revelation in the universe, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mere moments later, he became Satan. Lord, the Lord said, I need to go to the cross, you know, and to Jerusalem and be resurrected the third day. No, Lord, that should not happen to you. I'm here to protect you. Satan, get behind me. That wonderful love that Peter had for the Lord, for his safety, turned out to be an opinion of Peter with a good heart. And behind that opinion is Satan. Satan does not want Jesus to be crucified. So, opinion can surely be satanic. I would say this, before we know how to express a proper opinion, okay, proper opinion, the first thing is to learn to not have or give. No one can not have an opinion unless you're dead, all right? But not give or dispense so easily an opinion. We have to apply the cross to our natural opinions. The more we can do that, the more we may become qualified to express something. All right. B, in the church life, opinion is the most killing and damaging thing. It has damaged and swallowed up the Lord's blessings. In a church where the saints are free, that strange saints freely speak. You know, that's why I use the term First Amendment rights. This U.S. is not the U.S. without that amendment. And I'm happy about that. That's what makes this country free and democratic. But that's the world. That's the world. In the church, in the Lord, there's no First Amendment rights. Only one person has First Amendment rights, and he is God. He is the Lord. And all of us have to learn to submit to his speaking. And when we speak, we better be careful and have some assurance that this speaking is with the Lord or has the Lord in it. And this is a practice. This is a learning that takes time and years, decades to really learn how to do this. It kills, it damages, it swallows up blessing. You can be here blessing people with your sharing, your speaking, your testimony, but it doesn't take much for one opinion to come out to swallow all of that up. One, the stronger our opinion is, the less we grow. The stronger our opinion is, the less we will function. Every time we function with an opinion, it terminates our function. It's not easy. It really is not easy because opine, this is the verb, huh? To express an opinion is to opine. To not opine is nearly as killing yourself. Because no one has no opinion. I have a lot of opinion about how you hold chopsticks. For some reason, I look at people using chopsticks. Even, I'm not talking about non-chopstick user in your culture. I'm talking about Chinese or, you know, so many, see my opinion comes out. So many do not hold the chopsticks correctly. That's my opinion. Sometimes I look at a brother using chopstick in a not so classic or proper way. I have to bite my tongue not to say anything. Because I want to help him, you see. To help him to hold the chopsticks in the most efficient and nice and polite and beautiful way. Right? And how often we have an opinion about this, an opinion about that. We also have an opinion about every person. Right? You don't have much opinion about me because you don't know me. The more opinion you have about me. That's why the spousal exchanges, because they know each other too well. And they have strong opinions about each other that are usually correct, you know. But it damages. So, I'm not perfect, I'm not great, but I learn from Brother Lee and others to try to not have opinion. Try. What do you think? I just do this. That means I think something, but I don't want to say it. You would say, well, you're a liar then. You're not truthful. Say it. Well, I know that if I say it, vocalize it, it will make a situation that is already bad worse. In fact, I may blow up a situation. Sometimes your opinion is not even in words. It's in your face. The way you frown your forehead, the way you know what? The way you smirk. That's your opinion, right there. And those things are picked up very easily in the coordination, am I right? In family. Then you say, well, I should be a piece of stone, a piece of wood, no feeling, no expression. We can. Well, that's the hard part. Hard part. Okay. Opinion blinds people. When we drop our opinion, we'll have the highest discernment. Yet we will be very flexible. I can say a big amen to that. What little success I have in my experience, and I have a lot of failures, but what little success I have is from this. In dropping my opinion, and I really found out the more I do not express my opinion or express so quickly my opinion, the more discernment I have, the more clarity I have in a situation, and the more flexible I would be. All right? According to the church history, the divisions and confusions among Christians throughout the past centuries have come mostly from this one source of opinion. 1 Corinthians, I am of Paul. I am of Cephas. I am of Apollos. And some other have the best opinion. I am of Christ. Each one of them is an opinion. Is an opinion. Paul says all these are divisions. Opinions inevitably lead to divisions. See, we need to deal with opinion by practicing one spirit with the Lord. All right? Now, You think, oh, this is an easy line. This is the most difficult line. Brothers, it is time. Older saying, brothers and sisters, it is time. We talk so much. We read so much about being with the Lord, what you're with the Lord, being in organic union with the Lord, walking in spirit, setting our mind on the spirit. We know how to dream about these things. It's one thing to know that. It's another thing to regularly experience that. And that only comes from much and thorough practice. Practice setting the mind on the spirit. Practicing to be one with the Lord. The only way, and you'll read this in the book, Perfecting Training, that you and I can be free from our opinion, it's only one way. It's not by just suppressing it or whatever. It is by moment, being one with the Lord, being one spirit with the Lord. Why, brothers, before we coordinate, we pray. That's not a form, that's not a program to pray first and then talk. The prayer is not just to pray for this and pray for that before we fellowship. Prayer is the only way to transport us from what? From everything else to our spirit, where we can have oneness with the Lord. So even after we stop praying and start fellowshipping, we don't get out of the spirit. We have to remain there in our spirits as much as we can. Otherwise, we will all be sharing oneness. Brothers and sisters, it's a matter of constant practice. All right. When we are away from the Lord, we are nothing but opinion. Really, really so. Really, really so. And today with social media, Instagram, what else? Whatever, all these Reddit, whatever. Everyone can opine. Everyone can speak. Everyone can write books. Everyone can express their feeling, their instant feeling, and no one can do a thing about it. It's all this is promoting opinion, promoting the spread of opinion. And how damaging in many instances that have become, even to divide this country. Two, to practice the one spirit with the Lord is the medicine to heal the disease of opinion. All right? Enough said here. Let us practice, dear brothers and sisters, especially older ones. If we don't practice, how will the young ones ever practice? D, the church must be a kingdom without opinion. Now, that must be really a heavenly kingdom. A place with no opinion. One, throughout all the years, I have been learning and realizing one thing. To express an opinion concerning a certain thing, a certain person, or a certain church, whether negative or positive, is altogether unhealthy. Two, we have to learn to drop our opinion, learn to have no opinion concerning any person, anything, or any church. This is workable, but it is not easy. Three, we all must have a desperate prayer. Lord, deliver me from my opinion. Lord, help me to drop my opinion. Now, I'd like to also say, sort of the other side of the coin here, touching this matter of opinion, that we also need to learn. We do well to learn And that is to learn to go along. To go along. In other words, not to insist. All right? Not to be obstinate. Not to be willful. Headstrong. Don't be like that. You will just cause so much trouble. There are five ways to get from here to SJC, I mean to the airport. You way one, you have way two, way three, way four, way five, and we can be here for 5 hours discussing and arguing which is the best way. Mine is the fastest. Yours is the most scenic, you know, the most scenic. Right? Yours with the least traffic lights. You know what I mean. We can argue. Long before we finished the argument, I would have been in at the airport already. I just go along. The scenic one, I'll just go along for the scenic drive, you know? But no, we're like this. It's my way or the highway. The older we become, the more stubborn we become. There's something about aging. It's like that. We become, it's hard to change. We become inflexible, older people. And so we become problematic. So, dear saints, don't express opinions, so many opinions. On the other hand, learn to go along. Just learn to go along. It's okay. We'll get there. Maybe a little later, but we'll get there. It's okay. I tell you, when you are like that, you're easy to coordinate with, and you will be very useful to the Lord. Amen. All right? I hope this is useful. Amen. And that I will still be welcome back for the third time. Some of you may be saying, if you keep talking like this, please don't come back. We don't want this from you. Well, anyway, the last one, we'll talk more about function. Function of the older saints. And in the future, I told you I have some other stuff, but I better stop here.